evening, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting to order. We'll all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Raymond. Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Daniels. Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
And Ms. Leon.
Present. Councilman Amen and Councilwoman Daniels will not be present at this evening's meeting. We'll start the meeting with a citation for Thomas Brockle. At the end of the citation, if you want to come up and say something, you can't feel no pressure to, but if you would like to say something. Right now it's fine if you want. Whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated and diligent member of the Department of Water and Sewer Resources Wastewater Treatment Plant for 36 years, and whereas Thomas Brockle, who started with the city in 1990 and retired in 2026, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable service to his department and to the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Thomas Brockle be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than three decades of faithful service. Be it further resolved now that Thomas is retired and he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer. And be it further resolved that Thomas be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement.
I just want to say thank you to the city for allowing me to work for three decades. That made it sound real old. There's not many of us left from the 1900s that are still working. But it was a pleasure working for the city and serving people.
Yesterday was a beautiful day. We live here in the city, right here on Church Street. So we chose to spend our day hiking down along the canal, down along the trails by Sand Island. And absolutely beautiful out, looking for some good fishing spots, as we want to do some fishing here soon. And we were really disturbed by the amount of litter, trash and garbage that had collected in all areas of the creek, the canal, and also the Lehigh. And we ended up having a lot of really good conversations yesterday, last night, today, just about, you know, why that happens, how we ensure that that doesn't happen, and when it does, how do we clean it up. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity, and actually Isabel wanted to come tonight when I said that we had an opportunity. She doesn't want to speak, but she did write me a letter last night about it. Which was very sweet, but just want to make sure that we're taking care of our environment and that there are things in place to ensure that the garbage, trash, litter is something that doesn't become the topic of conversation when it really should be about, you know, how beautiful it is down there and just how lucky we are, you know, to have this resource right here in our backyard. Is there anything that you wanted to say, Izzy? Okay, that's it.
All right, thank you so much. You're more than welcome to stay after. The agenda is relatively light. I can't promise a short meeting, but the agenda is relatively light. More than happy to stay and speak with you and your daughter about any of the trash collection efforts that we have going on and hear her ideas.
Absolutely. We'll be getting late, so I did email a couple pictures to just Mr. Amon, mm-hmm. Councilman Amon, and so we'll probably head out at some point, but thank you for giving us the opportunity.
No worries, thank you. Next, I have George, and I cannot pronounce the last name.
That's me. Hello, my friends. I'm here to speak about our air quality where we live. We live, I guess it's considered Northwest Bethlehem. The name of the place is Spray Tech. We've been here 4 years ago. It has not gotten any better. We call the EPA. They do respond. They do tell us they get an overwhelming amount of phone calls. Okay, so where we're at right now is they're controlling the quality of our life. They determine when we can walk our dog. They release this foul odor that you can't breathe it for 10 minutes. And the sad thing is, it's there for the day. Not just the morning. They can let it out at 4:30 in the morning. You can't use your patio to have a cup of coffee. Just basic things. You can't take the dog for a walk. You stay close, because if they're we can't open our windows in the spring, because if you don't stay nearby, the smell gets in your house. And this has been going on for 4 years. The mayor was here last time we spoke. We do call the EPA every time we get the smell. They'll tell you, oh, they didn't change the filters. I don't know if it's a bunch of 12-year-olds working there, they got to be told to change the filters, or they're just giving us a bunch of BS. We asked for help. We were supposed to have a lot more people. I don't know where they went to. But they're just controlling our life. I mean, you can't even set up a barbecue with your friends. They bring the food, we're stuck with the food. You don't know when they're going to release it. It just happens, and it's a horrible smell. Now, I do have someone here who would like to speak how her daughter got ill from this.
It's okay. I'm going to turn to everybody in the room so she'll get her chance to talk to
you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's okay.
Okay, and hopefully more people come in that said they were coming. Of course, the ones that complain the most don't show up.
No.
So that's where we stand right now. They control when we can do stuff. We like to cut the lawn, not today. Take care of your property, not today. No idea when they're going to release it. If they were consistent, doing it on a Monday, but I already had complaints, people that work early, they get up, and it's there. And the trouble is, it lingers. It doesn't just go away. It gets so bad that you think you smell it, and nothing's out there. It's in your system. I got nothing else to say. I'm hoping.
What block is it?
What's that?
What's your block?
It's in Cypress. He's in Cypress.
2139 Cypress Road, Bethel. We live straight across from it. It's on Avenue B.
Mr. Shire, you know that. I was I'm gonna tell you, like I told Mr. Horlick, if you want to hang out until we're gonna address this as a council as well, but if you want to hang out until after the meeting for a more informal conversation where we can have a dialogue, that'd be great.
Okay.
So yep.
Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
George, was your last name Andrews? Is that
Andrews, correct. I scribbled it.
Right. Thank you so much. The next person I have signed up is Isabel.
Hi. We've been here before. She was actually 6 months old. She's four. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have a lot of time on my hands, so I smell it a lot. We are actually constantly on the phone with the department, and they have been very elusive. Not the department, spray tech. So they have actually gone to measures to combat this by doing it like throughout the night. They do it on weekends. They do it on where they know they can't have somebody drop in, because they have dropped in. They have been doing their due diligence, and they have been trying to address this issue. They have issued fines. Spray Tech had already been kicked out of another place because of these smells, and their solution was that they were going to put smells that were more desirable. We are a growing city. I have been like born and raised here my whole life. I have no intention on leaving. I remember when this was farmlands, and you know what? I'm really happy that it's a growing city. But it's also like up to us to grow it in an effective way. So I know that you guys rely on the department and the other jurisdictions to kind of go about this. I have looked into other solutions on other cities, so I don't know if you guys could implement like an air quality board that could better handle the issues, because it has been 4 years. And you're going to, this is not the last time this is going to happen. This is the second time, actually, if you want to attack the B-Braun issue that we had already. So we want to grow it, but we don't want to grow a smelly city, you know? So having a board maybe address and be more direct with these issues and be able to comply and make sure that companies are doing what they need to keep our air clean. They were found not to be using the scrubbers and the things that they should be using. And there should be laws, and there should be things in place that if they're found not doing that, they need to get out. Or we're going to have a lot of issues. He was here for the pollution issue. We want our city to stay nice. And as cities grow, the cleanliness really depletes. So you can either get ahead of it and be like Philly, and I think Abingdon County, I'm not saying that right. They are two that do have a board like that in place. The other departments can only do so much, but you do need to directly attack the issue. And I mean, I can sit here and complain about the smells all day, but I'm just a mom and there's like slime on my notes, so. and I mean, I can come here, maybe she'll be 8 next time, and then we'll have more factories that are just putting nice smells into the air. It used to be popcorn, and it makes you gag. She goes outside and she gags. Like it's, and I smell it, and my parents smell it too, and they're all the way up by Wegmans on 512. So like it depends where the wind's blowing, I guess. But I think implementing some more stricter rules are in order. There were other things that I was looking at, and again, just by a Google search, you know, the Section 116 Clean Air Act, that you guys can adopt air quality standards that are stricter. Like, that is up to you guys. So I just want to see something happen. I can't just keep calling, and that's all we do. We're doing it. They're trying their hardest. But what really got done? It's been 4 years. And again, it's not on them. Like, they are doing it. But I guess that's really all I have to say about that, that would be in your control and maybe ways to go forward. But I would really like to see something happen, because it's pretty gross. And I like living here, and I love this city, and I do want to see it grow, and I think it has a lot of potential, but you don't want to end up with a smelly city. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Isabel. That exhausts our list of people signed up to speak. I will go around the room if anybody else has public comment. We will, I'm sure, address these concerns under new business as we move along. So turning to my left, does anyone want to make public comment on something not being voted on this evening? In the center. Mr. Faber.
Hello, Harry Faber. On my 26th birthday, March 31st, 2026, Secretary of State Marco Rubio stated when speaking about Iran, quote, imagine if instead of spending billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, Iran had spent that money helping the people of Iran. They would have a much different country, end quote. But our politicians can't apply that critical lens to our own spending habits here. There is no other nation spending as much on weapons, and there's no other nation who can match our investment on terrorism. The following day, April 1st, Trump stated, quote, we are fighting wars. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare, Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection, end quote. It doesn't take a genius to recognize the double standard. In just the last month, the war on Iran cost us more than $35 billion, all spent on more than 90,000 civilian buildings that have been bombed in Iran. Over 700 educational facilities have been bombed. Yesterday, we destroyed most of Sharif University in Tehran, which is regularly compared to MIT. We are a college town ourselves. We host two prestigious universities, as well as one of the best community colleges in the country. I cannot possibly conceive of a world where you cannot empathize. Imagine if our universities were bombed and destroyed by a foreign aggressor. If we allow our government to attack universities abroad, that therefore makes our universities legitimate military targets. As of 4 days ago, 307 medical facilities have been bombed. Bethlehem also harbors two hospitals of our own. There is no world where these actions do not affect the people and city of Bethlehem. The same scenes that have made us say, quote, never forget, end quote, are being replicated over and over again in Iran, Lebanon, and Palestine. This prioritization of violence over the needs of U.S. citizens trickles from a national level all the way down to our local politics. Our state of Pennsylvania pays more than $420 million for Israeli weapons, and our treasurer, Stacey Garrity, has, quote-unquote, invested an additional $45 million in taxpayer money into Israeli bonds since October 2023, totaling over $64.5 million. Meanwhile, all our state can do for us is assault our freedom by penalizing, boycotting, and divestment of Israel. Today, the President of the United States stated, quote, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again, end quote. He's, of course, referring to nuclear warfare. To quote Greta Thunberg, quote, the President of the United States just said that a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again, and no one is reacting. This speaks for itself. And now I'm going to abstain from using profanity, but what the F is anyone doing at this point? We have normalized genocide, total annihilation of an entire people, the systematic destruction of the biosphere which we are all depending on to survive, and that corrupt, racist war criminals can act with complete impunity. But even though we have allowed far too much so far, it is not too late to say stop. If we don't, we shouldn't effing be able to call ourselves human. End quote. Now it must be understood, just as the genocide in Gaza is not just Netanyahu's doing, our nation's terrorism and war crimes and potentially even nuclear escalation is not just Trump and his insane cabinet. This is the very nature of capitalist imperialism. The empire is in crisis, and in order to procure profits, the ruling class so desperately needs to maintain their lavish living, they will deny any sovereignty, any human right. No evil is off limits. Capital will accumulate. We cannot fight a system without an alternative system. We must be revolutionary, as every Greyhound knows. To quote Gabriel Rockhill, quote, anti-imperialist state-building projects that develop socialism in the real world are the only principal means of fighting imperialism. Whatever problems that may have occurred within socialist countries, it should never be forgotten that they emerged out of and within a capitalist world intent on crushing them by any means necessary because of what they represent, an alternative to imperialism, end quote. Luckily for us, the only government we have to worry about is our own. The U.S. bourgeoisie may be the most violent and rabid imperialist force in the world, but that means that there is no big bad outside. It's just inside. If we can build a socialist United States, World peace is right around the corner. Join the DSA. Get organized. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Turning back to the center, Mr. Carrizola.
I'm Marty Curatola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Born and raised in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I wrote a book, had it published professionally with people from Bethlehem and the surrounding area in the Lehigh Valley. People that were literature majors in college, professors, people who wrote for write for major newspapers, who read the book, think it's great, fantastic. Every time I did a portion of the book, one paragraph after another, I got people to read it. When I got done with the chapters, I got people to read it. That were people that were professors, that were really right on target. This book was published on Amazon. I was refused by the Bethlehem Public Library. Now, a lady who considered me anti-Semitic at one time, who's Jewish, said, even though you may be considered anti-Semitic, the book should be on that shelf. It's the Bethlehem Public Library, or maybe they should change their name and take the public out of it. That was a quote from a Jewish lady who considered me anti-Semitic. But yet she stuck up for me for that. If I was anti-Semitic, why would 1975 I sit at the same table with Bob Dylan, who never, ever said anything? If you say anything about my race, you're anti-Semitic. He had skinheads approach him. But yet Bob Dylan never, ever stated the word anti-Semitic. And he's Jewish. And I sat right next to Joan Baez. May God strike me dead right now if I'm lying on this, in 1975. Joan Baez is American Indian. I think Mexican. I was considered racist by Arts West, who, maybe I'm wrong, but I think the head of Arts West is Jewish. I was also told that people that run the Morning Call are Jewish. I was also told, maybe I'm wrong, Josh Burke of the Bethlehem Public Library is Jewish. Since I'm considered anti-Semitic, my book's not being published. But yet, we have Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, in there. Does that make sense? How could be more anti-Semitic than Adolf Hitler? But my book's not on the shelf. And I'm barred from every major dive bar in Bethlehem and Allentown. But yet, I was the chosen performing artist for the Pennsylvania Music Preservation Society. Been on their float in the Oak Irish Parades, and the Bethlehem and the Allentown one, because I sang traditional Irish music than any of the Irish tenors that auditioned for the part. All I had to do was, there's a tear in your eyes, and I'm wondering why you never should be there at all. That's all I needed to do. I got the part. No problem. And I'm Italian, but I don't profess to be Italian, although us Italians, we should be considered the chosen people, because we crucified God's Son. And we got away with it. We're still alive, and we're respected. The Jewish people started to push the modern-day Mafia Murder Incorporated with Arnold Rothstein, Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, Gus Greenbaum, got all the Italians involved, became the Italian Mafia. We're killers, but yet we're respected. But we are the chosen people, because God didn't destroy us. But the Jewish people want to stay in the background. They will destroy you if they can.
Keep this on point, please.
I'm sorry,
I'm more here about Semitic. I know, but just keep it on point, please.
What?
Mr. Callahan, we'll
what? You got a problem with me?
Excuse me, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. I'll give you your 10 seconds back. We have Boy Scouts in the audience. Can we be civilized?
Bob Dylan does not profess to be Jewish. People should not be throwing that word like it's an anti-Semitic, like it's a bullet. We all live in this world together. We are all people in the United States. And my book should be on the shelf and not thrown away and pushed back in my face.
And those
if you
are
read the book,
10
it's
seconds.
Totally done properly.
And that's your time, Mr. Caratolo.
God bless you all. I hope you decide, really think
that
about
was your time, Mr.
City
Caratolo.
Council. Bethlehem Public Library. Four.
Turning back to the Broad Center. Does anyone else want to? Mr. Antalis.
Jewish Public Library.
Mr. Antalis.
Stephen Antalis, 77 Ridge. When comparing items, it is important that they be of equal nature, as in apples and apples and oranges and oranges. This should also apply when comparing different government agencies. When comparing government authorities, it is important that they be of the same nature. Parking, housing, and water are all authorities in Bethlehem, but not of the same nature. So if you wish to compare the Bethlehem Authority, which is a water agency, you should compare to other water agencies such as the Eastern Suburban Water Authority and Lehigh County Authority, since all operate from a common denominator, water. In Bethlehem, the water bills are sent by the city water department. Payments are made directly to the city of Bethlehem government. This procedure in Bethlehem can allow for abuse, and some years ago, an authority board member revealed that the city government was absconding large amounts of water funds and putting them in the general fund. In Easton and Allentown, authorities send out water bills and the payments are made directly to the authority, thereby bypassing the city treasuries. The procedure in Bethlehem can allow for abuse, and some years ago, an authority member revealed that the city government was absconding large amounts of money from the water fund and putting it in the general fund in order to enhance the city's financial picture. In Allentown and Easton, if water rate hikes are desired, both can ignore the PUC and independently raise rates, while in Bethlehem water rates increases must be submitted to the PUC at a great financial cost. In Bethlehem authority, not being an independent agency, must consult the city government in all property transactions and bonds, thereby making it important upon the city government. This drawback results in authority becoming one leg of a three-legged stool, since either city administration or city council could disrupt the authority and its plans. In Eastern and Allentown, as truly independent agencies, both are free of such politics, thereby creating much greater efficiency and at less operating cost. Bethlehem lost millions of dollars resulting from confusion between the city and the authority as to clearly defined lines for watershed management, which resulted in illegal timbering by unknown individuals. It is now time for City Council, not the authority, not the administration, to revisit the original 1938 Pennsylvania State Law of Incorporation, creating the Bethlehem Water Authority, and redefining it as an independent authority similar to that which now exists in Easton and Allentown. So there's a message there. Also, it was mentioned at a couple council meetings, it would be highly appreciated if members at that table, since it is a public meeting,
and you're addressing the public, that the microphone that you have in front of you is best if within at a 3-inch difference distance from your mouth. So with the microphone beyond that, we don't hear you. So be considerate and speak so we can hear you into the microphones.
Thank you, Mr. Antox. Anyone else in the Broad Center want to make public comment on things not being voted on? Anyone to my right want to make public comment on this? Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I wasn't planning to say anything tonight, but some of these speakers have got me cranked up. So I'm going to dust off something I say every 5 years or so. Since I've been coming here for 23 years, it means I've probably talked about it 4 times in the past, but nothing still has been done about it. It makes the city look kind of foolish. And I'm talking, again, about the signs and lack of signs underneath us or on the same level around City Hall. To start with the parking garage, there's a sign when you go in that says no public parking Monday through Friday until 5 p.m. That's clear. It's wonderful. That's where I'm parked right now. But when you start going into the library, the garage, it says do not park in the numbered spaces. Well, on 2 occasions over the years, I've gone through the entire garage and every space is numbered. So I was faced to the decision a long time ago. Do I obey the sign as I come into the garage and ignore the sign when on the outside? Or do I take a chance and I park here? Well, I've been parking ever since after 5 p.m. Haven't gotten a ticket, haven't been towed. But why does it have to be like that? It's such a simple thing to deal with. 2 other things. I have lost track of the number of times, because sometimes I come before at 5 p.m. and I park on Church Street. And when I leave, the City Hall is closed. And I've lost track of the number of times somebody has approached me at the door to City Hall on Church Street and says, how do I get to the police station? Where is the police station? A city of close to 80,000 people now, and we can't tell people how to get to the police station. Come on. That makes us look, I don't know how it makes this look, but it's not positive. So I tell them, you know, go around City Hall, go into the garage, and you'll see a sign that will tell you where the police station is. One more thing, and this has to do with the parking authority, which I have said and will repeat, has too much authority and not enough parking. The spaces here along the library. Well, let's just talk about the other side first, alongside City Hall. No parking, 1 hour parking until 9 p.m. Well, what's going on? The city closes down at 4:30. What's happening between 4:30 and 9 p.m. that parking has to be limited to 1 hour? Only the occasional meeting like this. Now, there are people like myself who know that this is another disconnect, that it's all right to park there, you won't get a ticket, although I don't chance it. But many people do, especially if it's zoning hearing board. Even worse, the same thing is true alongside the library. Now, the library is open till 8 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but only to 6 on Thursday and Friday, and only to 5 on Saturday. Why do those signs say 1 hour parking until 9 p.m. on Saturday? The library has been closed for 4 hours, but you're still only allowed to park for 1 hour. I keep bringing this up every 5 years because it's truly an embarrassment that the city that I grew up in and have been returned 23 years ago can't handle a few signs. What's the problem? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Anyone else on the right want to make a comment? Yes, sir.
Hi, Brian Nickus, 826 Head of Avenue. I did not anticipate speaking, and I'll make this relatively short, but most folks weren't in here at the beginning of the City Hall Council meeting where the Scouts, the Boy Scout Pack 352, was learning about democracy and how government works. And so they were able to come in here, and thank you much to several council members who were here, solicitor and folks who gave their time to speak about democracy and how government works. And the kids had a chance to ask a whole bunch of questions and get those questions answered. So I think one thing we all can learn from Scouts is part of the Scout law is, right, being trustworthy, being kind, being loyal, helping others, right? And we see tonight in action how democracy works. We don't necessarily agree with all these viewpoints that people have, but that's what makes democracy work. So again, thank you to council members for taking the time to speak to the boys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
When's the food drive?
November. It's November. Don't do another one.
Anyone else to the right want to make public comment on things not being voted on? Moving on to public comment on things that are being voted on this evening, I have no one signed up to speak in advance, so I will turn to the left. Does anyone want to make public comment on things being voted on tonight? Anyone? Mr. Antalis.
This is on what you're voting, right?
On what we're voting on.
Stephen Antalis. City Council would not be voting on Bills 13 through 15 tonight if the Bethlehem Authority were a truly independent authority, much like Allentown and Easton. The only interaction that City Council should have with the Bethlehem Authority is to approve those individuals the city administration appoints to serve as board members of the authority. Someone council has complained about the workload since many hold other full-time positions. A member of council can make a motion to initiate a study to determine the feasibility of the Bethlehem Authority becoming one similar to those announced on Easton, an independent authority. This would be an excellent way to reduce council's workload. The city administration certainly would not initiate such a study since they would lose control of the water system and the high revenues it deposits in the city coffers. A member of the authority would not make this motion because it would be a political disaster for that person. So, City Council is a logical source. Does anyone on council have the courage and the initiative to make such a motion? Time will tell. I don't know how many understand that Mr. Shire alluded to it, that the Parking Authority has too much authority. And many of you may or may not know this, but in 1955, the city had a study to determine a site for the new City Hall and its structure. The Clark Capuano report. And this was done by Mayor Schaefer. He didn't take any action until Gordon Payro came in. And Mr. Payro wanted to put it where it is now. But the city of Bethlehem residents didn't go along with it. Why? The people on the south side wanted City Hall to be where the Sierra State is because it sits on a hill overlooking the entire city. And some people on the north side wanted at another site. And the Mayor Peyro then became frustrated because he wanted City Hall to be where it is, where we are now sitting. So what did he do? How did he do it? He had council create city center authority. And through this authority, he bypassed the votes of the city people and has City Hall built where it is. So, you get a sense that authorities can be very powerful, and it's best that the Bethlehem Authority be independent. Not because of power, but it will enhance their ability to do a better job. So, our interview council people have the courage to make a motion to do a study about the feasibility of Bethlehem Authority becoming independent. We'll see whose courage is here.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. Anyone else in the Broad Center want to make public comments on something being voted on this evening? Anyone to my right? That concludes public comments. Moving on to old business. Any members of council have old business? Moving on to new business. Any council member have new business that they want to?
All right,
Mr. Colon.
Thank you, Councilwoman. I have a question for Mr. Evans. Oh, thank you, Mr. Callan. It relates to the budget, so we've been seeing a lot in the news about the price of gas. In our budget book, which I have in front of me, each bureau has gasoline as a line item. I didn't have time before tonight to add them up, but it amounts somewhere to like hundreds of thousands of dollars is what we budget for gasoline. Can you just give council and the audience, anyone follow along, what that means? So obviously when we go to Wawa and whatever gas station we go to, we're paying retail prices for gasoline. Can you just give us some insight, Mr. Evans, Mr. Alcohol, whomever, about how our acquisition of gas works, what we pay for gas, and how for the average citizen, how the retail gasoline market, what impact that has on our budget? Because we've seen gas go up roughly $1 a gallon for the last couple weeks. Like I said, we're looking at a few hundred thousand dollars. What does that translate to for city operations? Are we going to be looking at a potential council action to make up for any budget adjustments later in the year, or could the budget would stand? I don't know how that translates to what we pay for gas, because I know we're not paying certain taxes on gasoline and things like that.
Director of Public Works will take the procurement and pricing of it. I will tell you the budgeting, it's too early to tell this right now. It's a short time period if this goes on and moves on. And I think their instance you're pointing to is 2022 invasion of Ukraine, and prices went over $5 for about six, it's more like a 6 month period. So after a couple months, then we would likely be coming to council for some transfers, because that would impact all the gasoline, and they are spread out throughout the budget. Every department uses it. Police and fire, EMS rolling 24/7, and our public works does a lot of that as well. Not fully 24/7, but they would use a lot during the year. So there would be some, if this continues another month or two. Yeah.
The key, there's going to be a significant impact. The key as to whether there will be a significant impact to us, obviously we spent almost, close to $2 million on gasoline for the entire fleet, for the entire year, something like that. be a substantial impact that we have to move money or run out of money or whatever. It does depend on how sustained the elevated prices are for the course of the year. We do have some things working for us. Well, we buy all our gas in bulk, through the state contract. There is a lag. You know, we see the price increase a little later than most because we buy so much of it and we have so much storage that we might buy it today. The price goes up. For 30 days, we're not buying the next batch, so to speak. So it all depends on how long. It would have to be months that the price would be elevated to start making a difference for us and some challenges in terms of bridging some gaps in our budget.
And then roughly, what do we pay for a gallon of gas?
I have to check right now, but it's typically at least like 50 cents or less than wholesale you see on gas stations.
I would just ask, we'll keep an eye on it and see. It was something that came to mind. Actually, this morning, driving to work, I drove by a gas station, noticed what the current price was, and decided to take a peek. But you said total is roughly about $2 million?
That's right. I looked at it closely, $1.8 million. That's how I looked at the number.
Okay. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully. That's number 22. Prices hit $5 too. We're not there yet. Especially versus what versus where we budgeted, so yeah, we'll stay tuned.
Well, and for reasons beyond just gasoline, hopefully things change, but we'll see. And council will be here should we need to make any budget transfers. Thank you.
Yeah. Last year we were under across the board.
Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. Thank you, Sheriff.
Councilman Callahan.
Thank you. Can we have someone from the administration just address the two speakers tonight on the garbage on the canal path, and also the I know one of the mayor's big initiatives is clean air, and obviously something's not being done for these people over here.
Probably aware from time to time over the last at least 10 years, we've done some cleanups down along the canals. And, the last time was, 2 years ago, where that we actually paid a contractor to do some extensive cleaning. Unfortunately, it doesn't take long for garbage to return. There's also various volunteer groups that from time to time do cleanups with support from the city. We provide them with bags and gloves and what have you, and we also coordinate with them a location where they put the garbage and then we pick it up and dispose of it. And when work loads allow, our ground maintenance crews do some cleanups, but obviously it is impossible to keep it clean for any sustained amount of time.
Are there garbage cans down there along it?
Along the trail.
Yeah. And we don't go down and pick up.
We pick up the garbage. Not everybody. Most people, unfortunately, don't put it in the cans.
Right. But we send crews down there to empty the garbage cans on a regular basis.
It's on the 360 locations that we pick up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can have a discussion with the mayor about it. Just try to get it cleaned up.
We are constantly discussing it. We have meetings every 2 weeks where the subject is constantly on the agenda. But again, when honestly it's something that's extremely difficult to keep up with.
I'm going to take the spray tech question, but just to add to that, also when folks were living on the Norfolk Southern property, we did put out a dumpster specifically for that area to assist people, unhoused people who are collecting their own bags of garbage, to give them a larger place to get rid of it. As people have now relocated other places as a result of Norfolk Southern moving folks, that there's an evaluation process of trying to understand where people are and what services and needs people are having in those locations. So community connections is going down, but I think
like we're just sort of starting to understand the like additional needs, including trash in different areas. With respect to the spray tech, we are aware of the complaints. I pulled back up some information that we had shared with people back in 2022, 2023. As the speaker spoke about, air quality is controlled by DEP, so we shared some information about where those complaints can be made, and it seems like they've had a lot of conversation and connection with DEP. My understanding is that there's a 2014 permit for air quality associated with that particular facility. I think there were later renewals. They do have to be renewed at certain intervals, is my understanding. Their permit, we looked into their permit, it clearly says that, they may not permit emissions into the atmosphere of any malodorous air contaminants from any source, kind of goes on like that. They certainly do produce odor, products that create odors.
Certainly.
So they are required to monitor that. I don't work for the DEP, I work for the City of Bethlehem. The DEP is responsible for any non-compliance with their own permits. We don't have any authority over that. What we could do, and I'm certainly willing to do it, and we've done it in the past, is have folks from our team reach out to DEP just in the same way the residents do, but it can come from the city and we can check in on the status of their permits. Are the permits active? Have they been out? Have they monitored? What are any remedies that they are pursuing under their authority, and see if we can get some information, beyond what maybe they've shared with the residents. We can see if we can do that. And reiterate the complaints of residents. It's something we've done in the past, and we're certainly able to do that again.
I'll give you the floor. This is the formal part of the meeting where we can't engage in the back and forth conversation. So as soon as we wrap up the formal part of the meeting, I will come over there and we will have conversations where we can actually talk back and forth.
I agree with that. I think some follow up needs to be done on it, and not just like on a one time basis, on a continuous basis until something's done about it. Whether that call comes from you to the DEP, or from the mayor, but someone needs to stay on it, because obviously this is something they've been dealing with for over 4 years now, and it sounds like it's not being addressed. So
and another option would be if people feel as though the DEP is not doing their job in ensuring compliance with the air quality permits, there are other elected officials who operate on the state level who would have more authority and influence to deal with the DEP in that regard. But it also is possible, this does happen, that there may be an experience that residents are feeling that is not actually out of compliance with the air quality regulations. I don't know that, but that can happen, whereby they might be under a certain threshold level where maybe the DEP doesn't even have authority. But I'm just saying that's a possibility and something that DEP would have to answer to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think at this point, they've said they've had these complaints for a while now, so yeah. I think maybe...
My understanding is it is cyclical as well. They have a number of different products, and I think there are certain products that have different flavors than others. Some of them are, smell like cinnamon, or they smell like waffles, and others have, really pungent odors, and I don't know the cycle on which they produce these different flavors, but I think there are certain ones that sort of pop up at certain intervals that are more offensive than others.
Yeah, could you just follow up with the the mayor and see if we can do something?
I'll follow up with the DEP. It's not really the mayor's issue, but certainly it's something that we can follow up with through our department.
I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have one other thing. Ms. Collins, I'm going to need you for this one too, I think. So the food trucks are on the south side. Don't they have to, isn't there a permitting process they have to go through to have?
Which food trucks are you describing?
So Lehigh University has food trucks, multiple food trucks from what I'm being told, that they're positioning on their properties, but it's taking business away from, the restaurants along 4th Street, and they're very concerned about it. So I don't know, are they going through the appropriate process as far as the permitting process, or they don't have to do that because they're on
I haven't heard specific complaints about those food trucks. You can certainly, anybody who has a complaint can send that to us and we could look into it. But the way that our process works, we permit on an annual basis for health and fire, and it's basically like a joint permit for a food truck. Approval would allow them, you know, essentially to come in, for example, as part of Music Fest or another festival. You know, if they are an approved, like licensed food truck, they would then separately come in for approval for specific locations and events or festivals. We do not have in our existing ordinances like much in the way of permissions to just exist outside of festivals on public property, right? That's why, like, unlike major cities, you don't see a lot of food trucks just like on Main Street, for example. Like, we just don't have an ordinance that would govern that. But what we do, what is allowed on private property, just under regular zoning code, you know, is a private property owner may, in certain districts, ask for a food truck to be located on their private property, and that would be, you know, depending on where it is located, what zoning district that could be allowed. That's why, for example, there are food trucks at certain breweries like Seven Sirens or Country Club Brewing. You know, those are businesses that are on their own private property. They ask for those food trucks, which are licensed by Health and Fire, but they ask for them to be located specifically for a certain amount of time on that private property.
So, are they permitted to move those trucks wherever they choose to move them?
I'm not familiar with their specific permit, so I would have to look into where they're located and
yeah, if you get
whether
back
it's city right. property or.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I've been railing against them for a while about the amount of services that they use from the city without paying any taxes. I know they try to do some things with the the cleaning crews on the south side, but now they're taking business away from the established businesses and restaurants on 4th Street, and I don't know why they decided to move them down there in that area, but it's affecting a lot of the restaurants around here, especially like their lunch hours.
So I'm not sure that I'm actually familiar with where they're parking the food trucks.
They're kind of by the cup. I know it's that plaza right above. That's kind of where the trucks are.
I guess there's two of them. So.
Yes. In Lehigh, you know, they also have their own food establishments on campus. You know, they have right. multiple dining halls. They have, even in that Farragut Square area, I mean, they've got a Poke Place, and they've got other businesses that are within the confines of their footprint. You know, and I think, you know, food truck is not inside a physical building, but it is still in their campus footprint.
Yeah, if you can just get back to something, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you. And the last thing is, I was hoping that the mayor would finally be here tonight, because I did want to talk to him or make some statements and have him comment, if possible, on the news about the former Right to Know officer. But I'll wait until he is present at a meeting. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Gallagher.
Any Vice President Larry?
So I would appreciate any follow-up that could be done with the DEP about the spray tech. I recently moved out of West Bethlehem, but I'm familiar with how awful that smell has been. And I also am curious what other levers there may be that are under our control to pull, if there are any. They're in the city, so are there permits that we issue? Are there, is there anything that we control over their site? I'd be curious to know about. Additionally, just a comment, which I believe is the case about food trucks at Lehigh. I believe that the trucks are actually part of dining services, like owned by Sodexo, operated by Sodexo, under the contract to provide food services across the campus. Meridian has one also. I believe that's the case. So I don't know what that means in terms of where they're allowed to park or anything, but I think it's under their food service. And then My other question that I'm not sure who might look into would be, for this space, could we look into any hearing assistance devices or increasing the mic sensitivity, since it seems to have been a pretty increasingly mentioned issue that people are having difficulty hearing within the rotunda itself. I think it's okay online from what I've heard, but you know, even if there was a hearing assistance device that people could pick up on their way in or something, that might make things a little more accessible to everyone who's present. So that'd be something that the clerk or the business office, like, who would look into that?
Check into it. I know that devices, there's signs around it. No one has asked to use it so far, so we should.
Oh, there are devices.
As far as I know, I think there are signs. Does that sound right, Eric? I've seen them, I think, in the hallway. We can look into it, and if people ask, we'll assist.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Any other
thank you all for coming tonight. I know that President Leone and I, Mr. Cologne, we were all on council 4 years ago when you came, and I'll admit that the fact that we hadn't seen you in 4 years and that there was a lot of activity at that time made us hopeful that this was not a problem that has been continuing for 4 years. So I would ask you to please stay in touch. Our email addresses are all on the website. We can also give you our cards and everything, but you know, continued information is really, really helpful. And Ms. Collins, in your conversations with the DEP, if you could ask, what is the mechanism for public comment when the permits come up for renewal? Because I think that that's the opportunity. And as you said, our state representatives, Ms. McNeil, Mr. Samuelson, our state senator, Ms. Boscola, they are the ones who pass the budget every year and pass DEP's budget, and as I think Ms. Collins was indicating without mentioning their names, but I just want to let you know who they are, those state legislators hold some power over the purse strings for the state government where DEP is located. So I would also encourage you to reach out to them as well. And they have constituent service offices and people here locally whose job it is to advocate for folks at the state government level as well. So after the meeting, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just saying, I don't have a problem with the EPA.
Yeah, after the meeting, we'll discuss it further.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments from council members? That concludes our new business. We're going to move on to communications. Communication 6A.
March 31st, 2026, memorandum from Solicitor John Osberg Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Wicked Botanist, and the event is the 2016 Lehigh Valley Spring Wicked Plant Festival. The event will be held from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on April 26th. Premises will be First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and found its way to First and Second Streets.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
March 31st, 2026, memorandum and proposed resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick. Ms. Wenrick recommends an agreement with the Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living of Allentown to conduct a site survey of city-owned public spaces such as the Police Department, Library, and City Hall to access handicap accessibility. Cost is $3,900. Completion is to occur by December 31st, 2026. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
March 23rd, 2026, memorandum and proposed ordinance from Public Works Director Michael Alcall. The proposed ordinance would lower the liquid fuels fund budget from $2,374,220 to $2,210,833. The action is the result of reconciliation of the account following the receipt of PennDOT's annual allocation check. Changes include a lower than anticipated carryover, snow or ice removal, line item increase reflecting harsher weather in January and February than anticipated, and reduction in the streets overlays line item to cover these changes.
And ordinance 9A is on the agenda. Moving on to reports, the only thing that I have is I will ask our city council solicitor. Last council meeting, I had questions about free speech versus hate speech versus all other types of things that happen within this rotunda. She had given me some guidance. I would ask that you send that to council at large so we can kind of read through that, and just want to reiterate just from behind here, just because something is allowable under constitutional rights doesn't mean that I, as a council president, agree with what is being said, or in the manner in which it is being said, or the fact that I have to allow it to be said. So I would just ask that you send that to all the council so that we can read through what is allowable, and when we're getting right up against that line, make sure that we are addressing it when it gets crossed.
I certainly will. I know that we hear a lot of things in this council chamber that can be upsetting, that can hit us as hateful, and you know, speech is broadly constitutionally protected, so I'll provide guidance on that subject matter to all of council, and also outline some of the things that we can do to respond to these kinds of incidents.
Yeah, thank you.
Can I say something quick?
Really quick.
Yeah, I'm 100% for free speech, but if it's a once in a while occasion that a certain topic is brought up about a certain nationality or religion or something, and it's all right, but when it's a constant history of it, over and over and over again, and it's almost what I feel is trying to antagonize this couple people or someone on council, and I don't think it's right. And that's where I think it's stepping over the line. Because I think, based on the past history of things that have been said to a certain council person, I think it's getting personal. That's the only time I felt like, it's getting out of line.
First, antagonistic. I understand. Moving on to mayor's reports, does the mayor have anything to report to Minister? Nope. Moving on to. Well, I thought you were going to say that the state of the city is tomorrow, so if you're not going to say it, I'm going to say it. The state of the city is tomorrow.
Early tomorrow.
Yeah, the state of the city is tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. If anybody's going to show up, we're going to have a great time. The mayor will have a report tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. We have no committee reports, so moving on to our ordinances for final passage.
Council President Leon, if I may.
Yes.
I would like to make a motion that we group the ordinances for final passage, agenda items 8A through 8E together. And if there's a second, there's a discussion, I'll elaborate.
A second.
I just glitched out. I'm not supposed
discussion
to
on the motion.
Discussion on the motion.
These were reviewed at Finance Committee. They passed unanimously the five items at the first reading. So just to move the evening along, I'd like to group them together.
Any further discussion on the motion?
I think he should have done this more when he was president.
I know, it's amazing.
There's a lot of things I should have done.
Love you guys. All right, if there's no further discussion, if you can call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0.
Item 8A, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem and Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2026 Sewer Capital Budget. 8B, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Water Capital Budget for 2026. 8C, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Waterfront Budget for 2026. 8D, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund Budget for 2026. And 8E, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the General Fund Budget. Bills number 13 through 17 are sponsored by Ms. Leon and Ms. Laird.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to new ordinances, 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Liquid Fuels Fund budget for 2026. Bill number 18, 2026, is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to resolutions, Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Wicked Botanist for the 2026 Lehigh Valley Spring Wicked Plant Festival. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living to provide a site assessment of handicap accessibility for city-owned public spaces. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. And Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Department of Community and Economic Development as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Leon and Mr. Cologne.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
And Ms. Leon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. That concludes this evening's city business. Be safe, everyone. Have a good night. If you guys want to hang out.